Zechariah 9, verse 9. Cry out with joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout jubilantly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous and able to save. He comes seated humbly on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. Luke 19, 35 to 44. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats on the colt's back, and then sat Jesus on it. As Jesus rode along, some people began to spread their garments on the road as a carpet. When they passed the crest of Mount Olivet and began descending toward Jerusalem, a huge crowd of disciples began to celebrate and praise God with loud shouts, glorifying God for the mighty works they have witnessed. The crowd of disciples, the King who comes in the name of the Eternal One is blessed. Peace in heaven. Glory in the highest. The Pharisees who were in the crowd, teacher, tell these people to stop making these wild claims and act in this way. Jesus, listen. If they were silent, the very rocks would start to shout. When Jerusalem came into view, he looked intently at the city and began to weep. Jesus speaking, how I wish you knew today what would bring peace. But you can't see. Days will come when your enemies will build up a siege ramp and you will be surrounded and contained on every side. Your enemies will smash you into rubble and not leave one stone standing on another. And they will cut your children down too, because you did not recognize the day when God's anointed one visited you. I've been meeting with some young people, with Karen, just started up a, I don't know where it's going, but meeting on a Wednesday. Something I learned, a huge thing I learned at college, was to always compare and contrast. This is something I'm sharing with people, the young people we've seen. Compare and contrast. It's something that I've been saying to Ellie, my wife Ellie. Compare and contrast. Compare and contrast. Jesus, Caesar. Jesus, a message of peace and love. Caesar, violence and destruction. Jesus came in, rode on a donkey. Caesar, a white stallion. Jesus, there was common people praising, laying down their coats, laying down palm trees. Caesar arrived with dignitaries, soldiers with weapons. Jesus, the people were cheering and praising. What a contrast of entrance. What a contrast of the true King of Kings entering into the city. This week we talked about spiritual warfare. What does that mean? What does that look like? From a lens of the Bible, but what is our understanding of spiritual warfare? Yes, we've heard prayers. We are likely praying in our own way with the world and where it's heading and what is going on. It's not looking great. But do we fight in our own strength? What does it mean to engage in the world but not be of the world? And an amazing quote came up from this, I won't say the name, but from a young person. All of them were sharing some really fantastic things. But this is one of those moments. We are not the ones that are fighting. We are the ones who are being fought over. Just let that sink in. I'm going to read from Ephesians 6, 10. But just let that sink in a minute. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and might from God. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. And this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. Righteousness. And it goes on. Shield of faith, and it goes on. We are not the ones that are fighting. We are the ones who are being fought over. I would add to that and say, when we pray, when we surrender, when we worship Jesus, not for our own recognition, not to build our own empire, not to win a theological deep argument that goes on for decades, but when we surrender our all to Jesus, when we allow him to truly be the Lord and Savior in our lives, then we're going to be encouraged to be in the world, not of the world. This Jesus who rode in on a donkey, not a big white stallion, although that's perhaps in Revelation for another conversation another day when Jesus returns. We don't need all the weapons and man's methods, but man, we're being fought over in a spiritual battle. Pause. Just imagine that scene of Jesus coming in on that donkey. If you can, just try and imagine you're walking or observing in that time. The sounds, the sights, the smells, the emotions. I'm going to ask maybe us all, to reenact the scene. There was a crowd of disciples who were praising, hallelujah, yeah. There were the Pharisees, oh, Jesus, make your disciples stay quiet. The bystanders, the families, the elite, the soldiers, the common people, the curious, the deceived, the different sects, the foreigners, the religious, the pagan, the shop owners, the outcasts, the sick, and many more who would have been there on that day. So maybe picture yourself as one of them, maybe in different camps here. Could we have a crowd of disciples just shouting out, hallelujah, Jesus? Then can we maybe have some Pharisees that are amongst the noise going, and pointing the fingers? I'm not saying you are a Pharisee. If you do that, please don't feel judged. And if you're at home, it might be a bit tricky, but if there's one or two of you, you could do this. But can we do that? Can we just make a noise? Just make a noise of celebration or joy. And then maybe some just looking and scowling around going, argh. Maybe you can picture yourself being an outcast, or maybe picture yourself being sick. Maybe you are sick. Maybe you do feel like an outcast. So it wouldn't be hard to actually imagine that. Can we do that? There's some, if I could take a picture of your faces, it's so funny. It's like, you've got a range of people. It's brilliant. Yeah, blind panic to yay. Okay, after three. So just imagine you're going to be one of those people. One, two, three. Oh, come on. Imagine you're there. Jesus is coming in. No, please, keep going. Oh, you really aren't. Yes. Okay. Amazing. That's great. Wow. It's just important sometimes to pause and put yourself in the story. Imagine you're there. And you just think, how can I learn from this? How am I encountering, or even how did people learn? How were people encountering? And how were people responding? And just spend time pausing, pressing that button, and asking those questions. Well, how am I learning? How am I encountering? How am I responding? And then we could ask, even as a church family, how are we learning? How are we encountering? How are we responding? Maybe if we do not respond, then even the rocks will cry out. You may be wondering why there's white bits of paper and white palm trees around. I hope, is it Val, was it you who put the... I'm so sorry, I hope it hasn't caused offence. Is that okay, is it? Okay, we'll have a conversation after. Yeah, okay. So I didn't run it past. I am winding you up because I know you wouldn't mind. Now, they're deliberately and intentionally not green. And there's deliberate and intentional blank pages. Because when we come afresh to Jesus. When we surrender to him, that's a really big thing to do. Not in a patronizing way, but God, boy, it's hard. To let go and surrender to who? Well, I want to be able to shake their hand. Hello, God. God's not there. He's not in a physical form. Arguably, we can see reflections of God through people in Christ-like natures. But when we surrender, so you may have noticed I'm wearing a top with lots of different labels on. It's not my new fashion sense. Not that I would have any fashion sense anyway, but when we do this, we will surrender all the things that perhaps people have spoken over us. Maybe those things that we say to ourselves, no matter how many times people affirm us, but we still can't hear that. Maybe they're words of encouragement. It does happen. It could be prophetic words spoken over us. It could be in moments of our own journeying and encountering Jesus in the quiet times. We've had those nudges, those words that we feel, that is for me. Wow. And everything else in that mix. When we come afresh, learn, encounter, respond, it's like a blank page. It's like we remove these things and we go, you know, I'm carrying all this stuff, but I need to surrender and lay it. And in doing so, we can then pause, reflect. Where are we going? What are we doing? Jesus, where are we heading for now? We are in a battle. As a church, as individuals, and in society. But are we going to choose to be kingdom people that bring God's kingdom to this nation, nations? Or are we going to keep hold of the things that we don't want to surrender because it's comfortable? That jacket analogy, so some of there were pins as well. Perhaps some of the things that we are keeping hold of, it's like these sharp edges that are poking us, and but we put up with it. And actually to the point where we get used to that. It becomes normal. But like the God's Chisel video a couple of weeks back, we are being refined. And as a church, this next season, there's a real sense of pausing. Now, intentionally, not stopping, pausing. An opportunity to surrender afresh as individuals, as a church, and in our communities where we find ourselves, and going, okay, Jesus, you are the Messiah. We live for you. But I'm exhausted. Maybe some of us are running on empty. And in those dregs, maybe things are being revealed that are unhealthy, And it's what an opportunity to address those things before we are filled afresh with living waters. So we'll be communicating, when I say we, myself and the leaders will communicate out to you what this may look like in the coming weeks following Easter. It's really exciting. It seems quite heavy, but it's really exciting. Because when we surrender and allow God to be the one and truly in control, and we address these things that might be coming up, oh, the freedom in Christ is amazing. Amen? So I'm going to pray and then hand back over to Nicola and the team as we respond to that message. Thank you again, Jesus, that you came into this world as part of this grand narrative, the Ark, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, being set apart, be holy because I'm holy. And the amount of sacrifices and laws to abide to just to remain in a relationship with you. Not even to a full level, but to some level. And then Jesus, you came and walked this earth, not just as man, in a human, that's it. But God, man, dying on that cross, the message of salvation. You didn't come to bring all the weapons and new weaponry and new forces to overrule and overtake the Roman Empire. You came riding on a donkey, but knowing that deep message and people not seeing you as Messiah because of their own expectations. And Lord, I pray that as we enter into a season of pausing, not stopping or burying our heads in the sand, but pausing just to reflect, to learn, to encounter, and to respond together. Lord, help us all to recognize those things that we've got to deal with by your love and grace and mercy, whether that be as individuals, families, leadership, church, in our jobs, our careers, in our home life. Help us to surrender to you afresh, to let go. Not to discard everything, but to let go and allow you to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. To be refueled, to be re-energized, to be filled again with your Spirit. To remember and to encounter and to take hold of why we are Christian in the first place. That first love of knowing you, Jesus. Lord, in this journey, protect us, we pray. We recognize that there is an enemy of the unseen world that is prowling around, ready to destroy and tear and rip us apart. But Lord, thank you that because of you, we can stand strong. and be in the world, not of the world. We can share your truth in darkness. Lead us on, we pray. Help us to hear your voice afresh. Help us to discern where we are going. In your name, we ask, Amen.